friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Jackson Vunganyi and Dan Friedel for hosting the past two shows. On Tuesday's program, we have reports from Ghana, Kenya, and Uganda on the performances of athletes from those countries at the recent Tokyo Olympics. Team Uganda had its best ever Olympic showing, winning 4 medals, 2 gold, 1 silver, and 1 bronze. Olympic champion Parith Chemitai earned a big place in Uganda athletics history when she struck gold in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase race. Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala says Chemitai is inspiring other female athletes in Uganda. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Last Wednesday afternoon, hundreds of Ugandans stand up along Entebbe Road to have a glimpse of their heroes returning home with the most number of medals Uganda has ever won at an Olympics event. The athletes drove in a convoy as they offered back their fans. One of the athletes was Parith Chemitai, a 3,000-meter steeplechase gold winner. She narrates how she ran to victory.
I control my present. I go up to 4 laps. American girl passed me. But I said that I will not give up. I will go. Yeah, after the end. I'm happy to be an Olympic champion, world record holder, possible. Yeah, I'm so happy.
Chemitai beat America's Kutne Fritz and Kenya's Hevin Kiyeng in national record time of 9.0.5 to become the first Ugandan woman to win Olympics gold. Ugandan Winnie Nanyondo participated in both 800 and 1500 meters, reaching on the final in the later. 800 meters world champion Halima Nakai also reached the semifinals, while sprinter Shida Leni rubbed shoulders with Elson Felix, one of the world's greatest athletes.
Since my childhood, I used to admire how Elson Felix runs, and she's my role model. I could watch her again and again and again. If I'm going for races, I first enter YouTube, I watch her races, and so I just feel like I want to run like her. She really inspires me a lot. So all along, I look at her like my role model. Racing with her, racing in the same heat with her, it was really a big something I can't even just imagine, that I was in the heat with her.
Indeed, Leni made herself and Uganda proud, becoming the first Ugandan sprinter at the Olympics since 2008 Beijing Olympics. Athletics fan Faith Gertrude welcomed Golden Chemitai and other athletes.
As a woman, it's more joy for me because, I mean, we all know women struggling, and when a woman wins, you know, it's joy all over for us as women, and we get proud about it, not only as a country, but as a gender, we feel, you know, powerful. When you see someone coming up at a younger age and, you know, being a hero, being a gold medalist, and you'd want to imagine, to want to be like her. I would want my kids to watch Chemitai and feel, you know, I want to be like her.
Janet Museveni, Uganda's first lady and sports minister, says that is exactly the spirit of the Olympics.
Thank you, Team Uganda, for bringing your country joy on the world stage. Indeed, God has given us a beautiful country, gifted by nature, we say, and with beautiful people. To our young people in Uganda, I say to you that you take time to intentionally learn from Team Uganda. To excel at the world stage in any form takes not only talent and training, but discipline.
And one poet, Albert Mukundane, will recite a poem befitting the 3,000 meters steeplechase Olympics gold medalist.
There she is, Chemtai Peres, triumphant creature beyond the stars. The moving speed merchant of 90145 and the first female in this territory. There she is. Resilient, patient, and tactical heroine. Amazing to the spectators near and far. Emotional filler of Ugandan flag. Inspiring lead initiator for Uganda anthem in Tocho. There she is. The vacuum filler of yearning medals sector. The oasis of hope at the heart of stakeholders. The renewal efficient energy for sports development. The dominant theme for Tokyo 20 Olympic Games. There she is.
There were other Ugandan female competitors at this year's Olympics, but notable mentioning were the first firsts. Catherine Nobo, the first Ugandan rower at the Olympics, and Catherine Nanziri, the very first Ugandan female boxer to present at the Olympics. Chemutai and other medalists were awarded with brand new vehicles by Uganda's president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, for flying Uganda's flag high. For the Sunday Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Shida Len, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida, and congratulations on competing at the Tokyo Olympics. From Uganda, let's go to neighboring Kenya. Team Kenya was the top performing African team in Tokyo, where it won 10 medals, 4 gold, 4 silver, and 2 bronze. However, I get the sense Team Kenya felt like it could have won more medals at the Tokyo Games. Mohamed Yusuf reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
As in past years, Kenya dominated the long-distance running competitions, winning gold in the 800 and 1,500 meters and men's and women's marathons. Emmanuel Korir, who won the 800 meters gold for Kenya, told VOA he was happy with his performance.
To be honest, I'm so happy. We didn't get time to train well. But I don't want to complain, you know, it affected everyone, so we were all equal. Everything was fine. The only problem, there were no spectators, but at least we did it.
This African nation won more medals than any other African nation, but this year's performance was not as good compared to the 2016 Olympics in Rio, where they won 13 medals. Kenya lost the men's steeplechase in Tokyo after winning gold in the event every Olympics since 1984. Barnaba Korir is the general team manager for Kenya's Olympic team. He says the lockdowns and restriction of movement caused by the COVID-19 pandemic stopped the athletes from winning more medals.
The athletes were not allowed to train in a group, they had to train individually. It really affected them. And of course, we were not even expecting them to do that as well. And then when we selected a team again for the Olympics, there was a restriction also. We have to have athletes in the camp, and the development of the couple training where an athlete is not allowed to leave outside or the movement is restricted, they have to train in the camp. So those things were psychologically affecting our athletes. But however, they ran very well.
Korir is already looking forward to the next Olympics in Paris.
I'm actually working for maybe one day to run a world record, a world championship next year. Yeah, so preparing for the world championship. Yeah, maybe for the next Olympics. We only have 3 years, so everything's going to be fine.
Meanwhile, many Kenyans on social media criticize government officials for failing to organize a reception for its returning champions. Korir says the criticism is unjustified.
But I was there. I came early from Tokyo, and we had officials from the government. And most of our athletes were arriving at midnight, immediately after midnight they were arriving. And we organized for Faith and Peres Cheptegei and Brigid Kosgei. we organized, or at least to we received, they were taken to the hotels that were prepared for them. That is a five-star hotel, they were there. So I don't think, we should go that direction.
Korir says the government's Ministry of Sport is working on a standard procedure to honor winning Olympic athletes in the future. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we will celebrate the records, the medals, and the victories of Africa's greatest athletes at the Tokyo Olympics. We'll also look at what it would take to bring the Summer Olympics to Africa. We'll examine what kind of investment would be needed and whether Africans really want to host the Games. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Boxer Samuel Tachi received a hero's welcome when he returned home to Accra from the Tokyo Olympics. Tachi won Ghana's first Olympic medal in 29 years. Joining us now from Accra with a report on Team Ghana's Olympic performance is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Now, Ghana's Olympic team returned home with one medal, a bronze for young boxer Samuel Tachi. The 20-year-old's medal was the first since 1992 and the first boxing medal in 49 years. The country's medal drought at the Olympic Games dates many years back, but there were a few personal victories for the country. Young swimmer Abeku Jackson set a new national record in the men's 100-meter butterfly in a time of 53.39 seconds. Ghana's relay team also made it to the final of the 4x100 relay race for the first time since 1996 and broke a long-standing national record set in 1997. The team ran 38.08 seconds to make it to the final, denying the United States of America a place. Joseph Paul Amoa, a final year student at the Coppin State University who ran in that race, says it brought him utmost joy.
Honestly, I feel like relay is a relay. I mean, looking at all these big teams like great relay countries, USA, Jamaica, America, Great Britain, anything will happen in a relay. And it's looking at us like we just knocked out USA in our heat. You know, I can imagine what's going on in their minds too, but like anything will happen. So what disqualified us could happen to any other country. It doesn't matter how long you train, a relay is a relay. Like the stick passing is very, very important. So we feel like we still have more in the tank. We see ourselves to be a sub 38 team. It might sound a little, you know, crazy, but we feel like with the potential that we have, looking at our individual times in our individual events, we feel like we could do better. Yeah. Even though there's a national record, I mean, we thank God that we're able to break it. It's been there for a very long time. But we know we still have more in the tank, and hopefully the next time we can even break our own record.
The relay team was one of the youngest at the Olympic Games, and it gives hope that in subsequent games, there could be glory. The oldest among the lot, Sean Safuenchi, who previously ran for Great Britain before shifting focus to run for Ghana, says breaking the national record in that fashion was massive for him.
It's always been a dream to compete in the 4x1 with Team Ghana, so that's something I've always wanted to do. Breaking the national record means a lot. We've got so much potential to go. We feel like we haven't yet hit our max. We still want more, we're still hungry. So that's one of the ticks of my checklist that we've ticked off. We managed to make an Olympic final for the 4x1, so I'm pleased.
Ghana's relay team was full of Olympic debutants. In February, Benjamin Azamati broke the country's national record, running a time of 9.97 seconds. But he failed to qualify from his first race after running a time of 10.13 seconds alongside Jamaican Johan Blake. He admits the stage can get a bit overwhelming for a novice.
I mean, it comes with much joy, you know, to do something that most athletes, you know, wish for. I mean, a lot of athletes wanted to get to this podium, wanted to get to this stage and couldn't make it. So making it alone, I feel accomplished. But, you know, I had to, you know, come here to deliver and everything. To have your debut and, you know, to run against Johan Blake and the like, you know, there are people that we looked up to, you know, we being kids when we started running. And to run alongside him shows how much, how far you have come. So, I mean, I felt really proud of myself. Aside the nation, you know, supporting me and all, I felt really proud of myself. I knew that, yes, you know, I took track serious and this is where I am now. And to be able to, you know, get to this stage is something that I can, you know, boast about and all that, you know, get to any place and say that, yeah, I'm an Olympian and I work hard for that.
Ghana has never won a track and field medal at the Olympic Games, and many believe it is high time we did at this stage. With this team, maybe, just maybe, the glory will come soon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yalfo Sulabi in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with more African highlights from the recent Tokyo Olympics.
Team Namibia arrived back home from Tokyo, Japan, and was welcomed with a hero's return by the Ministry of Sports, Youth and National Service, and the Namibia Sports Commission. Namibia's Christine Mboma claimed an historic silver medal in the 200 meters to become the first Namibian woman ever to win an Olympic medal, just weeks after being informed she could not compete in her preferred 400 meters due to high levels of testosterone. Hank Botha, coach Christine Mboma, and her teammate Beatrice Masilingi.
My crazy child, Christine, we had a meeting before the race and I said to them, girls, you know what, I've never pressurized you for medals. I've never asked you for records. I've never asked you to do but your best. But now I want you to run for the country. I want you to run for medals. Because you have seen what we have done already with people that are just phoning us from all over Namibia. And I believe in some kind of way we united Namibia again on the sports field.
Minister for Sports Youth Development Agnes Tunjongirero speaks of the role government played in supporting the 18-year-old Christine Mboma to her acclaimed success.
Much conjecture has been offered with regard to the role government played in all of this, especially the exploits of the two junior athletes brought unnecessary and ill-informed criticism at the door of our government. I want you to know that the government worked every step of the way with these two junior athletes. Every young aspiring athlete that participates in school sport does this under the watchful eye of the Namibia School Sport Union.
Another history maker at the just concluded Olympic Games is South Africa's Tatjana Schoenmaker, who claimed both a gold medal and a new world record in the pool in Tokyo. Tatjana Schoenmaker is now shifting her focus to the Commonwealth Games. Schoenmaker's gold was South Africa's first woman swimming gold for 25 years. Her longtime coach and mentor, Rako Merin, says his next task is to help the 24-year-old defend her title in 3 years' time in Paris and also find a way to make her faster.
What's next for me is the fact that I need to find a way to make her faster. So I don't know yet how yet, but and the rest of the group, they all have expectations and are inspired by her performance and by Kayleen and by Peter Kutsia. And I'm the lucky one that's got to try and deliver on those expectations.
Tatjana Schoonmaker, who was making her debut at the Olympics, won the women's 200-meter breaststroke in 2 minutes, 18.95 seconds, establishing the first individual world record of the Tokyo Games. Shortly after her arrival in Johannesburg, South Africa, where she was received by her parents, friends, and fans, she recounted what it felt like winning her first Olympic medal and what she intends to do in the future.
I think it sunk in a little when you finally get to come home and actually celebrate it with the people you love. So, yeah, I think it might never sink in really, which might be good because it wouldn't. I think even just being at the Olympics was an amazing achievement for everyone, and I still feel like it hasn't sunk in for any of us. So it's over now, and now we have to focus for 2024.
In Olympic basketball news, NBA Milwaukee Bucks Jordan Nwora, who has at the just concluded Tokyo Olympic Games, played for the Nigeria's basketball team, the Tigers. Jordan Nwora's first Olympic stint with the Nigeria men's national basketball team saw him put up 20 points on 7-17 shooting from the field and 3-7 on 3-points attempt against Italy. In every one of Nigeria's game, Nwora put his prolific scoring and shooting skills on full display. He notched a game high of 33 points and team high 7 rebounds in their 99-92 loss to Germany, and he had 10 points, 3 rebounds and 4 steals in their 84-67 loss to Australia. Nwora reflect on his participation at the Tokyo Olympic Games.
It was great. You know, I got to play with a great group of guys. You know, Coach Brown did a great job. You know, an amazing feeling. I got to represent the country. You know, I wish we would have done a little better, but you know, it happens. You know, I have a lot more opportunities to play in the Olympics, and hopefully next time I go out there, it'll be a little bit better.
And to another Nigerian athlete who is the African record holder in the women's long jump event, Ese Brume. She gave Nigeria one of the two medals the country won at the Tokyo Olympics after she won the bronze medal in the women's long jump event, where she leapt to a distance of 6.97 meters. Ese Brume had shattered Chioma Adunwa's African and Nigerian record, which has stood unchallenged for the last 25 years, after she leapt a distance of 7.17 meters to effectively bury Adunwa's 7.12 meters record, which was good enough at that time for a gold medal at the Atlanta 1996 Olympics. Reflecting on her bronze medal, Ese Brume admitted she was under pressure to make a podium finish.
There was actually pressure, you know, from different places, and with the fact that I went there with a world leading jump, I was actually pressured a bit, but I tried not to focus on that because it could cause a negative impact on me. So with the help of my coach, I was able to, you know, skate through, try to divert my focus from the pressure, and then I try to keep focus, keeping on, try to do things that would, you know, take my focus from the pressure from, different places. I'm thankful to God that it's actually worked out.
That's Olympic bronze medalist Ese Brume of Nigeria, and thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy Olympic package.
Sporty greetings. This is Ese Brume, 3-times African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
American Carly Lloyd, one of the greatest players in women's soccer history, has announced her retirement at the age of 39. Lloyd has made 312 international appearances for the U.S. women's national soccer team. That's second all-time, male or female, trailing only the now-retired American Christine Lilly's 354 caps. VOA's Gwen Ooten says Carly Lloyd plans to step away from the game in the fall. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In a statement released by the U.S. Soccer Federation, Carly Lloyd said when she first started out with the national team in 2005, Her two main goals were to be the most complete soccer player she could be and to help the team win championships. And she has certainly achieved both of those goals as her storied career comes to an end. The two-time FIFA Women's Player of the Year has scored 126 goals for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team and helped them win two World Cup championships, two Olympic gold medals, and most recently, the bronze. And ahead of this year's games, Lloyd described to Reuters News how it felt to represent the United States again in Tokyo.
You know, it never gets old hearing congratulations, you're going to Tokyo type thing. I was extremely honored, grateful, and, you know, I think it's just great to know that the roster has been named. And you know, you can just kind of now take a deep breath and just focus all your energy on just doing everything possible to help the team win this gold medal. That's the biggest thing, and it's going to take all 18 players to get this job done.
The U.S. women's soccer team were favored to win gold at this year's games, but the Americans suffered a surprise 1-0 defeat to Canada in the semifinals. But in their next match against Australia, Carly Lloyd scored a record 10th Olympic goal to help her team win bronze. Lloyd's road to the Tokyo Games wasn't always smooth. In 2019, she was outspoken about her frustration with then national team head coach Jill Ellis after Lloyd was downsized to the role of substitute during the 2020 World Cup tournament in France, a snub the 39-year-old believes was based on her age and not her ability.
I think the biggest thing for me, you know, in prepping for that 2019 World Cup was I just felt as if I never had an opportunity to prove myself. I came back from an ankle injury in 2017 that I sustained with the Houston Dash in the NWSL. I was out for a bit. I came back and, you know, I just saw the writing on the wall. Coming back from that ankle injury, I never once, not one single time, in training sessions, in games, had an opportunity to prove myself. I was already being written off. I was already, you know, wanting to be pushed out of the way. But, you know, my biggest thing is just be so good they can't ignore you.
And Lloyd continued to live by that motto. Last June, she made history as the oldest player to score for the U.S. women's national team. But Lloyd says she hopes to be remembered for her age-defying talent on the pitch.
I didn't want things to be based on my age. I didn't want people to sit here and feed off of this nonsense that wasn't true, that I'm too old, I can't play 90 minutes. I'm playing 90 minutes. I'm fit. I'm one of the fittest on the team. And you have Vlatko not talking about my age. You know, Vlatko's given me an opportunity, just like everybody else, to perform and to play. And if you're good enough, you're going to make the roster and you're going to play. It's as simple as that. So I'm thankful that I've got a coach who isn't using my age against me and he's giving me a fair shot.
Lloyd will play 4 friendly matches for the U.S. national team in the fall, and she will finish out the season and her career with her club team, Gotham FC. In her announcement, Lloyd said, "Through all the goals, the trophies, the medals, and the championships won, what I'm most proud of is that I've been able to stay unapologetically me. My journey has been hard, but I can honestly say I've stayed true to myself, to my teammates, my coaches, the media, and the fans throughout my entire career. And that is what I am most proud of." Congratulations to Carly Lloyd on her upcoming retirement. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the August 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.